really called into your mind everything we think we know about God, except for one thing. What it tells us is we are to put no thing, no person, no one before God. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I always have a list of things that I'd have difficulty if God never chose to, you know, to say to me, well, these things, you cannot put these things before me. When Carol and I first got married, we had both come through a time of horrible crisis. My first wife had died in our living room by her own hand, and Carol's husband had run off and had kidnapped her son and gone off to Canada, and we were both basket cases, to say the least. And it was out of that kind of a crisis that we really came into a fresh encounter with the Lord. And we came into moments where we had to get our heads on straight as to who God is and how much does he love us. And I was going down to Tampa, Florida for a memorial service for my wife. And Carol and I, much to our surprise, had fallen in love. And Carol was in prayer, and God said to her, you need to give up your son and Don to me. And she broke into tears, and she struggled with it. And God said, do you believe I love them more than you? And she said, oh, yes. Then do you trust me with them? Oh, yes. Then give them to me. And she did. And look what God did. He did all kinds of amazing things that you could not have even planned or imagined. But the decision had to be made is how are we going to order our priorities with God? And, you know, it seems easy until you put a name or a face on that. And I've discovered that if God has a special call on your life, he's going to test you more than the others. And I want to talk a little bit about testing, because remember, Jesus was sent out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted by the devil. And there were these times of testing. I always think about Marines. I don't know, mostly because I'm jealous of the people that have gone through that, and you know, and it changes them forever. They always say, once a Marine, always a Marine. But I always think they go to boot camp. And when they go to boot camp, they're changed forever. They never go back to what they were before. Lent is meant to be like boot camp. You're never supposed to go back to where you were before. It's not 40 days of giving up chocolate. I hate to tell you this. It's not intended to be that. It's intended for us to end up in a new place, at a new level with the Lord. And you remember the whole thing about the call to a holy Lent. This is what it says. It's an interesting little list. It says, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. How many of those say, did you catch any ands there, or did you say, choose one? I think we tend to want to choose one. I want to tell you this, there's nothing on that list we're not called to do all the time, every year, every day of the year, and not just for 40 days and 40 nights. Amen?
Amen.
We all know that's true, but every year we act like it's not. So we're going to think that we might give up something for a period of time. Father Ed used to have his thing about pickled pig's feet and rutabagas or something like that. You know, it was, you know, and And he meant it to be humorous because it is humorous. But I think most of us miss the point in Lent. And the point in Lent is for us to grow into something more that we were before. It's kind of a, you know, calling back to boot camp for a refresher course and get it straightened out and to grow in all of these areas. And then some of them aren't any fun. Like fasting. How many of you like fasting? I don't see any hands. I thought we'd have a lot of people with hands leaping up, you know. The scriptures tell us that fasting is something we are all called to do. I'm sorry. If I'd have written it, I'd have made it optional, you know. But we're all called to grow in self-denial, and self-denial isn't chocolate. It can be, you know. But it has to do with, can you set aside eating everything just to pray and to seek God's blessing? I think I told you this in a time of prayer before a service, but about, it's been now 5 or 6 weeks, my sister and I and one of my brothers have decided we're going to fast every Friday until we see some breakthroughs on some real serious medical needs in our family. And you know, that includes little Christian who's autistic, and he's having his birthday today, turned 6 today. Awesome. You know? And there were some things that Christian was not doing as 6-year-olds do, like go potty, you know? Like talk, you know? He has his own language. I think he speaks in tongues, you know? I just don't have the interpretation, you know? Yeah. But we began to pray intensely for those members of our family that had serious illness needs, and we weren't seeing any answer to prayer. And so we felt convicted of the Lord to do this thing for him, not so I could lose a few pounds, which is my favorite reason to fast, you know? And there have been breakthroughs. A week ago, we got contacted by the teacher at the school that Christian had begun going to potty on a regular basis. And it's now continued at home. This morning, he was singing Happy Birthday.
Awesome.
I wanted to videotape it because, you know, did you hear him do that? He was on key. I don't think he was saying all the words. Yeah. But it was, the melody was perfectly there, you know? And I just thought, yes, Lord, yes. I went praying for a breakthrough. And just any sign, you know, God, you're hearing our prayers, and you do care, but we've got to take our minds off of ourselves and put our eyes on others. And God will give us the strength to do these things. I like sports. You know, I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. And up till recently, I've really been passionate about football. Lately, I've lost a little bit of the savor. It's just gotten a little crazy. They pay them so much more money, you know, than the scientists that find ways to cure diseases and stuff. That kind of irritates me a little bit. And then they act as if they, you know, are superior human beings just because they are athletes. But when they retire, they become pigs just like me. Have you ever looked at them? They look get out of what? They get out of shape. They get all fat and nasty just like the rest of us do, you know? You know? And I thought to myself, you know, they act like there's an in-season and out-of-season. I want to call you to understand that as Christians, in season isn't Lent. In season is life. We need to pray that God will use this special season to take us to a new place in holiness and righteousness, and that we'll have a breakthrough in our love for the Word of God and for our prayers, that we will pray. We need to be known as a praying church. I think some people know that, but I think it would be great if everybody knew that. We'd like to know that everybody knows that the living God who heals and has performs miracles is here too. You know, just think that it's time for us to expect that something's going to change. Because we're told this, that if we keep doing the same thing we've always done, all right, tell me the answer. You get the same results. Amen?
Amen.
Yep.
However, have we been living our lives like we expect that something was going to happen? You know, maybe what you do is just give up ice cream and chocolate this year. That'll double the blessing, you know. You got to understand, I like both of those things a lot. But I don't really believe that's what Lent's all about. So I'd like to call and encourage everybody to understand that change is what's anticipated, and I just think it's very interesting to find out that if you want to break a habit, guess how much time it takes? Approximately 40 days to break a habit and to form a new one. What an interesting coinkadink. Yeah, you know? You think God knew something about this. You know, just believe that God wants us to understand that this is a holy season because we become more holy. Transformed and renewed to be more and more like Jesus in this amazing season. So I just would like to encourage everybody to review their life. If there is somebody outside of your immediate family, we always pray for our immediate family. We always do. At least most of us are faithful to pray for our immediate family. You know, get somebody else to pray for your immediate family, and you pray for theirs. Focus your heart on somebody else's need and just allow the power of God to fall upon them and expect God to do miracles. I pray that the next time I share with you, there could be more breakthroughs. I hate fasting. But God likes it. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. God wants us to be able to die ourselves, to pray, and expect Him to move with power. And I'm here to give testimony that He will, and He does. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the new insights you have given me in these recent weeks. I thank you that you've revealed yourself to me again, that you desire to act mightily and powerfully, and that you call us to a disciplined life of prayer, and yes, sometimes even fasting. And we pray, Lord God, that you would just transform us, renew us, and make us not desire to go back to the way it was, but to be in a whole new place with you, that you might say, well done, good and faithful servant, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.